Welcome to the Kriya Yoga Podcast, a source of inspiration and actionable education for those inspired towards the goal of enlightenment through yogic meditation. Through these interviews, discussions, and reflections, it is my intention to share the possibility of waking up to the reality of self and God realization, and to remind you of the immortal words of Paramahansa Yogananda. Don't look back. Don't look to the left or to the right. Look straight ahead to the goal and go all the way in this lifetime. I'm Ryan Kurzak, and I'll be your host on this adventure of spiritual self-discovery. On this episode of the Kriya Yoga Podcast, I'd like to share with you a discussion on the final chapter of Roy Eugene Davis's book, Absolute Knowledge That Liberates Consciousness. Each month, for our Kriya Yoga Online Patreon members, I provide a monthly lesson. Over the last 8 months, we explored the entirety of Mr. Davis's book. After releasing the final session to our Patreon members, I decided to release the entire course as a free download through Teachable. You can access the entire course in the description, or you can go to kriya-yoga.teachable.com/courses, where you will see the free download. The theme of this final chapter is infinite life. I can always remember Mr. Davis asking, "How do you want to live your infinite life?" He would ask this on retreats to encourage participants to consider how do they want to live as an immortal spiritual being in this world. And so I hope you too will consider that question as we review Mr. Davis's thoughts on infinite life. And before we get to the podcast, I'd like to announce that we have two upcoming retreats, one in May in West Virginia and one at the Assisi Institute in Rochester, New York in July. Both of these retreats are currently accepting registration. The retreat in May is a 2-day immersion, and the event in Rochester is a 5-day retreat. You can go to www.kriyayogaonline.com, and then you can go to the Events tab for registration details. So I hope you enjoy this podcast on Mr. Davis's book, Absolute Knowledge That Liberates Consciousness. And if you like it, you can find his book on Amazon. The full title is Absolute Knowledge That Liberates Consciousness. And if you want to follow along with the entire class, again, you can go to kriya-yoga.teachable.com/courses. Class 7 of Absolute Knowledge That Liberates Consciousness, An Explanation of Higher Realities by Roy Eugene Davis. In this class, we're going to look at the final chapter in Mr. Davis's book, Chapter 7, entitled Infinite Life. And he opens up this chapter by stating that infinite life is without boundaries or limits. If your life is not yet like this, creatively imagine how you will think and act, and what your circumstances will be when your life is like this. Many of us live in an endless loop of waiting, of hoping, of desiring, and so then the nature of our infinite life is just a perpetual cycle of waiting, hoping, and desiring. And Mr. Davis encourages you to imagine what it would be like if you were living freely, without boundaries or without limits. How would you think? How would you feel? What would your circumstances be like? He goes on to say that by anticipating what is possible to experience, that this can empower you to live effectively. It can empower you to see opportunities that you might have missed before. And that experience, that state of consciousness where you are imagining and open to possibilities, sometimes this can attract events and circumstances that can be for the highest good as it relates to all aspects of your life. Oftentimes we get stuck in a rut, and this can happen spiritually, this can happen emotionally, this can happen in just about any phase of your life situation. And when we're stuck in this way, sometimes we can't appreciate that a change might be possible, that there is a different way to be. There are other circumstances that are available to us. And one of the quickest ways to kind of move out of that rut is to take some time to break through the inertia. And even if it feels a little difficult, you can imagine, well, what would it be like if I had this profound spiritual awareness that all these great yogis had? What would it be like? What would my life be like if my relationships were better, if I was able to serve in such a way that I had a feeling of deeper purpose and a deeper appreciation for life. You might not be there in reality, but we have a mind and we have a capacity for creative imagination for a reason. And when you engage that, sometimes it can open up possibilities for you that you are not able to even consider. And Mr. Davis describes how you know when your highest good is in effect, when your highest good prevails. He says, you will be spiritually awake, mentally alert, and rational. He describes that you'll experience emotional stability, better health, satisfaction in relationships, and you will feel that you are in a more harmonious and supportive relationship, even with the wholeness of life. And the material resources you need can be provided for you, or you'll be able to find a way to gain access to them. And then at the end, we know that we are experiencing our highest good when there is a sense of living enjoyably, and there's a greater sense of being successful in life and having a clear sense of meaningful purpose. It's important to consider this list of ideas and consider, where do you feel stuck? Where do you feel you might not be capable of making change? For example, maybe you've lived in such a way that you don't really feel a deep sense of meaningful purpose, and so you can't really imagine that it's even possible. Or maybe you live in a way where there is difficulty remaining emotionally stable, and so again, there's a sense that you don't feel it is even possible for you. And so at this little junction point on your infinite life graph, you're stuck. Now, your life is infinite, which means you have time. So knowing that, you can ask yourself, well, do I want to stay in this stuck space? Do I want to continue feeling this way? And of course, I understand the immediate response might be, well, I've tried everything else, or I don't know anything different. I can't even comprehend what it would be like to feel more emotionally stable, or that I have a sense of meaningful purpose, and so on. But what Mr. Davis is encouraging you to do is, just for a little while, take a moment or two and imagine what it would be like if this was possible for you. How would you feel? What would your life look like if there was greater emotional stability? What would it look like if, when you woke up in the morning, there was a greater sense of meaningful purpose? And you don't have to get into specifics. You don't have to have all the details written out in a perfect plan. You simply have to imagine, how would you feel? How would you feel in your heart? What would your mind be like? What would the quality of your interactions with the people and circumstances in life be like? Just imagine that as a possibility. And this might take some effort, because once you're stuck, sometimes it's hard getting unstuck. But you can take the time to do it because you have the time. And then from another perspective, you know, we talked about prayer earlier on in this course and things of that nature. Well, if you're having difficulty even contemplating, even imagining this, well, maybe pray a little bit. Pray for some help, for some guidance, for some support to help reveal to you the possibility of change. And do that for a little while, and then move back into the focus on using your creative imagination to wonder what it would be like if you felt mentally alert and rational, if you felt spiritually awake, if you felt a consistent sense of emotional stability, if you felt that your health was as good as it could be, if you felt that your relationships were harmonious and supportive, and so on. Imagine these things. What would they feel like? And this is not magic, so it's not necessarily going to change everything immediately, but if you're consistent with it, and if you're able to continue to engage your infinite life in this way, in time, you will start to see new opportunities presented to you, or your mental, emotional, and psychological state might begin to shift so that you can at least entertain even the notion of the feeling of this new experience. And that's one of the first steps. And the heading of this next section is, understand and coordinate the relationships between your subjective states and objective circumstances. And here, Mr. Davis puts forth the idea that what we think and feel subjectively is intimately tied to what we experience objectively. So our thoughts and our feelings, that's the subjective experience of our life. And then what actually happens to us, this is the objective reality. And he states that when you can carefully examine your states of consciousness, and that includes your mental states, your emotional states, your personal circumstances, you will begin to see a corresponding relationship there. And so, of course, he then encourages you, as we've been talking about, to nurture thoughts and feelings that can constructively influence your actions, and that can constructively produce and attract ideal events and circumstances. Now, I know how difficult and hard sometimes this can be, and for some people it's easier. But if you have difficulty with it, recognize that that's natural. That's just part of the human experience. And in time, the more you practice and engage and allow yourself to entertain the notion that there is a correspondence between your subjective thoughts and feelings and what you notice and experience outwardly, you'll start to see that that is actually so. And if you ever take a moment to look around at the world and all the different people in the world and how they respond to things, everyone experiences the same stuff in life. Everyone has pain. Everyone has suffering. Everyone has difficulty. Now, of course, the extent of that or the outward experience might be very different, but deep down inside, pain is pain. And you might know people who've gone through extremely traumatic circumstances, and yet they're still buoyant. They still feel a sense of faith. They're able to get out of bed, and they're able to engage life with love and with a sense of connection to something greater. And there are some people who seem to be showered with grace and good fortune, and yet they have all kinds of anxieties and troubles. And so as a spiritual being engaged in this human experience, we do have a choice in regards to how we interact with life, how we engage our infinite life. You can even look at it in a very simplistic way. If you've ever been shopping for a vehicle, or shopping for anything really, and next thing you know, that vehicle that you're looking for, or that thing that you're looking for, it seems like everyone has one now. You see them everywhere. I bring this up because our states of consciousness are that way too. If we have habits and patterns towards anger, anxiety, depression, fear, and so on, we are going to be more likely to see reasons to feel that. And this is why it's important to learn to master, or at least become aware of our states of consciousness. And this is one of the reasons why in yoga and in spiritual traditions, there is an emphasis put towards gratitude and grace and love. Because when we look at that, when we expect that, when we look for it, we are more often able to see it within our experience. The possibility of greater spiritual awakening, if we have the sense and we can imagine that it is possible for us to be spiritually clear and spiritually aware, there's going to be a greater likelihood that we will find the resources we need to make that a reality, to bring that into experience within this infinite life. Essentially, what Mr. Davis is getting at is as you live your infinite life, be conscientious about where you put your attention. Be conscientious about where you put your attention. He says that allowing outer events or circumstances to adversely influence your mind and consciousness will result in mental and emotional confusion and interfere with your endeavors to be freely expressive. Avoid thinking that other people or circumstances can prevent you from bringing forth your potential to be fully awake and skillfully functional. It is very common for us to give our power away to circumstances and outward events and the people around us. It is true that sometimes those circumstances and events can cause delays. Sometimes the people we spend time with can short-circuit our best intentions. But it is ultimately up to us to decide how we respond to what comes to us in life. And that is the benefit of being a human being, of being a spiritually free being, of having free will. Our free will isn't necessarily the capacity to control everything that happens. Our free will is how we respond to what happens, how we see it in the context of the greater wholeness of life. Mr. Davis states that infinite life will be natural and easy when you are always established in self-knowledge and know that you abide in the wholeness of one reality that has within it everything that you need for your total well-being. And the main point to focus on in that statement is that infinite life will be natural and easy when you are established in self-realization. And there is an assumption there that you know how to experience self-realization and self-knowledge. Since you are participating in this class, and you know that Mr. Davis was a student of Paramahansa Yogananda, and he is a Kriya Yoga teacher, and I, Ryan Kurzak, who am reading this and hosting this class with you, am a student of Roy Eugene Davis's, and also a Kriya Yoga teacher, you know that it is your Kriya Yoga practice which allows you to cultivate self-knowledge. And as you cultivate self-knowledge, as you cultivate self-realization, this is what makes it easier for you to abide in the wholeness of the one reality. This is what allows you to recognize that everything that you need can be provided for your total well-being. Now, we don't want to take this in such a way that turns it into fantasy. We also don't want to go so far as to become morbid about it. And the reason I'm making this distinction is because it is possible to recognize that you can experience everything you need for your total well-being, the resources you need, the relationships you need, and so on. But on the other side of that, sometimes the things that we need are the situations that we have to endure and learn and grow from. They're situations that make us stronger, that challenge how we look at life, how we experience life. And so we don't want to limit this providence to simply a childish idea of getting what you want all the time. As a yogi, we begin to recognize that as an immortal spiritual being, that situations and circumstances that are provided for us, both the positive and the negative, ultimately have the purpose of helping us become strong and clear, more self-aware. Essentially, it empowers us to become supremely free. One of my favorite bits of yogic wisdom states that the yogi endures pleasure and pain while seeking knowledge. It doesn't say the yogi ceaselessly chases the fulfillment of pleasure. It says that the yogi endures pleasure and pain while seeking knowledge. And this is what leads to supreme freedom, which gives one the capacity to live joyously and freely when the opportunity is there. But it also gives the capacity to be resilient and to attend to life, even when difficulties arise, with wisdom, grace, and poise. And in that, there is also a peacefulness. And this is what it means, in a way, to be supremely free. And the next statement that Mr. Davis makes in this chapter is that until you are able to always and effortlessly be in the flow of supportive events and circumstances, use your knowledge and skills to live effectively while nurturing your spiritual growth. What he's saying here is that until you are always able to be effortlessly in the flow of supportive events and circumstances, that you're going to have to be present. You're going to have to use the knowledge and skills you have to do your best. And what you'll find is, Every day, when you do this, you'll get a little bit better. You'll become a little more skillful. It'll make more sense to you, but you have to stay engaged in the process. And we can't let our age or other circumstances cloud our ability to see this as a possibility. One of the great blessings that I've had is that in my life, I've always been surrounded by elders and inspiring elders. When I go to the gym, one of the people I work out with is 70, and he's stronger than I am, and he's quite a bit older than me. There's another fellow there who's in his 80s, another one in his 90s, who shows up every day. And that's inspiring to me, because it's showing that you can continue to move and be strong and be healthy. Whereas many people in our culture, at least in this time, might think, well, I'm in my 70s, my 80s, and my 90s. This is time for me to just sit down and let it all go. There's another person I know who's a musician, and she's almost 80, in her later 70s, and she just started taking fiddle lessons again. She's been playing her whole life. And why does she do that? She said, well, I think I can make a little more progress here. And she's a woman that we were playing music together, and there was a bit of a difficulty with the weather, and we didn't think we were going to get together. And I told Jasmine, I said, you know, Val seems like a woman who doesn't let things get in her way. And she's not. And so it's possible for you to be that way. Mr. Davis was an example of this for me too while he was alive. He would go to the gym 2 to 3 times a week. He was always reading, learning, and studying more. He kept himself alive and engaged. He continued to learn. So as long as you are embodied, as long as you're in this life, if you find yourself in a rut, or if you find yourself feeling like, well, there's nothing more I can do, there's nothing more that I can achieve, that I really can't get any better, this is as good as it gets, well, you don't want to be pathological about it and turn into an obsessive type A personality who just can't be satisfied. But while you're here, you always have an opportunity to learn and grow. You always have an opportunity to increase your knowledge and your skills. So find a way to feel as though that's possible for you. Imagine that you have that capacity. Imagine that it could be a joy for you to consider continuing to engage this infinite life, despite your age or your circumstance or whatever liabilities you might be currently identifying with. And I think that's important, and possibly why Mr. Davis would ask people how they are living their infinite life. Because if you look at life on the spectrum of infinity, well then, whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, or 90, well, you're still alive. Your consciousness is still active. And even if the body passes, your consciousness continues. And so when you go into the next experience, if you've already developed the capacity to be curious and optimistic and a possibility thinker, that will perpetuate into the next incarnation if you take one. So you see, you need to look at what are you doing right now in your infinite life. And that's what's going to continue, essentially. Next, Mr. Davis gets very practical. And I think this is a very necessary step to take. He encourages you to write a list of your real needs. What do you really need? He gives examples. Increased spiritual awareness. Improved intellectual powers, healing or improved health. A comfortable place to live. A job or a better job, more resources, satisfying personal relationships. He says to write a list of what you want to have and what you want to do or accomplish. And then he goes on to say, beside each entry, explain why. And it's important to explain why, because if you don't know the why, if you don't actually have a very clear, distinct reason, you're less likely to take action or to find a way to take action to experience these states of consciousness. And you'll find that to be true in your life. When there's something that you really want to do and you have a very distinct reason, you will move heaven and earth to make that happen. We see that every day. And you don't have to be a spiritual being to consider this. Everyone is doing this. What they really want to experience, most of the time, they find a way to experience it. Next, he goes on to say, after you've got this list, and after you've written the reasons why you want to experience or the reasons why you need certain things, he tells you to take some time to examine your thoughts and feelings about what you have written. And you might find that when you write something down, maybe you feel guilty to want that, or maybe you don't feel it's possible, or maybe you don't feel you're good enough. or there could be a whole host of reasons why you might not necessarily really deep down feel that you are worthy or able to accept these positive changes. You need to become aware of these things. Now, he goes on to simply say, once you know what these are, he says, simply renounce those thoughts and feelings. And that was very common for Mr. Davis. Whenever a problem came up, he would say, just drop it, just move on. And I think there are certain situations that we can do that with. But my own experience has been that we might actually have to address some of the psychological, mental, or emotional reasons why we hold on to these thoughts and these feelings. So if you can do what Mr. Davis says and simply renounce those thoughts and feelings, perfect. Do it. However, if you struggle with that a lot, now you actually have to really try first. So don't just think I can't do it. You can try just to drop them. But if you try real hard and you don't succeed, that might be an indication that now you need to do a little bit more preliminary work. You need to actually address some of the psychological, emotional issues around this. I can remember when my stepdaughter, she was concerned about money, and you might have heard this story before. She was going into college, and she was studying science. And the degree that she was getting was a degree related to science. And from what I've understood by asking around, is that degree, she'll probably have no problem finding a job. But because she was young and inexperienced, she was concerned about money. And so she asked me, she said, if I run out of money, will you be able to help me out? And I laughed because I got my degree in psychology and philosophy, which you don't really necessarily start out with amazing job opportunities with that. And somehow I found a way to succeed. So I said to her, I said, look, if you try real hard and you fail, absolutely I'll help you. And I think we have to remember that. Too often when it comes to things like just simply renouncing a thought or a feeling, we throw up our hands and say, well, we can't do it. And that would be like my stepdaughter just not even trying to see that she was capable. So my advice to you would be try real hard. And after trying real hard for a significant amount of time, if it doesn't work, that might be an indication that you need a little external help, which is no problem. And there's nothing wrong with that. And in fact, many people who recognize that as a possibility will tend to make greater progress quickly versus those people who simply try to force their way into renouncing feelings and thoughts and so on. And once you've worked through all of that, Mr. Davis states that if you need more knowledge or special skills, simply find out where to get them, where to get that knowledge, how to train yourself, how to acquire those skills, and then use them. And once you've done all of that, he says to be receptive to the unplanned good fortune that you can have when you are in tune with the power that enlivens and nurtures the universe. Now, fortunately, he goes on to say, well, what happens if you do your best and you work towards this and you don't have the results which you are expecting or that you need or want? Well, he says that after you've done the best of which you are capable, if you do not have the results you need, or you cannot resolve the situations, he says to avoid anxiety about those matters. Then he says, direct your attention to the source. Rely on it to provide for you and to resolve discordant and unpleasant situations. So direct your attention to the source. Rely on it to provide for you and to resolve discordant or unpleasant situations. The more conscious you are of the omnipresent reality in which you abide, the easier it will be for you to know that all you need for your complete well-being is available to you. There's a few things we need to talk about here. Number one, that very last statement where he says, the more conscious you are of the omnipresent reality in which you abide, when he states that, we again have to remember that it is the purpose of our Kriya Yoga practice and our spiritual practice to become more conscious of the omnipresent reality. So when we go into our meditation, when we cultivate an awareness of spirit, what that's doing is incrementally, it is giving us an awareness of this omnipresent reality. And the greater ability we have to be conscious of it, the easier this last step he just mentioned will work, because too many people have faith and they have hope. And so they want to believe in God. They want to believe in a divine reality. They want to believe in an omnipresent reality, but they've never really even kind of touched an experience of it. And even their intuition makes them doubt that it is possible. And when that's the case, this isn't really going to be that effective. So cultivating the possibility of feeling a conscious relationship with the omnipresent reality, that is important. Now, to back up, he says, when you've done your best of what you are capable and you don't have the results you need or want, he says to avoid anxiety about these matters. So essentially, once you have gone through the process of contemplating, what do you need to live a harmonious, infinite life? And you write that down. And then you write out the reasons why you need or want these certain things on a specific level. Again, spiritual awareness, more harmonious relationships, the ability to feel like you're in the flow of material resources so that you can be able to live a life without terrible amounts of financial stress. Once you write that down, and then you contemplate the thoughts and the feelings you have about those things, you become very aware and conscious of it. That's the next step. And then, of course, he says, simply renounce or remove those troublesome thoughts which get in the way of your ability to feel like you are worthy or capable. And of course, I add in there that if that doesn't work, then work with a counselor or a psychologist or a professional to really dig in there. That way you don't waste time just trying to force the issue. Now, once you've done all of that, and if you still feel like your results aren't successful, or you still feel like your infinite life is still the endless repetition of worry and anxiety and so on, well, the next step, he says, is to direct your attention to the source and then rely on it to provide for you and to resolve discordant or unpleasant situations. He doesn't jump right to that, because then we become passive. We become docile, and we are meant to engage this life. You know, we have a free will and we have willpower. It was endowed to us for a reason. We just have to use it in harmony with the whole. But when you've done all of that and it still hasn't worked out, then what do? Then you stop, you surrender, and you continue doing your best, but without anxiety, you tune into Source and you acknowledge, I've done my best. You, Source, the omnipresent reality, God, divine, whatever term you use, you obviously have access and knowledge to infinite possibilities. And so I give this up to you. And you allow this divine reality to do what needs to be done, to reveal what needs to be revealed to you. And in this way, you even move into a state of Ishvara Pranidhana. In the Yoga Sutras, we know this is one of the three pillars of Kriya Yoga, which is indicative of surrender to God. Now, many people interpret surrender to God as simply giving up your will and giving up everything so that you don't have to do anything. But really, Ishvara Pranidhana is a recognition that you are part of the wholeness of life, and that the wholeness of life is expressing through you perfectly and with wholeness and with well-being. And when we can start to tune into that, that's a final step, a final ingredient of grace, which it does for us, which we cannot do for ourselves. And when this happens, he states that you will live with graceful ease and harmonious accord with the rhythms of life. He says that memories of past unpleasant experiences will not influence your mind or awareness. All present time events and circumstances will be in divine order. Your near and distant future experiences will be meaningful and enjoyable. And having permanently transcended ordinary states of mind and consciousness, you will effortlessly continue to awaken to complete self-realization and liberation of consciousness. And this is how he concludes this chapter. And again, we have to remember that this chapter is the culmination of the entirety of the book. And we also have to remember that there is an expectation that you already are living in accord with the yamas and niyamas, and you are practicing meditation regularly, and that you are studying spiritual literature to keep your mind nourished towards greater understanding and higher wisdom. all of that serves as a foundation for you to understand what Mr. Davis is trying to get at when he encourages you to recognize that this is your infinite life. And your infinite life will continue as it is in the way that you are living it, in the way that you choose to think and feel and act. And he describes that as you live your infinite life, you do have to focus on developing skills. You do have to be curious about what is possible. And you also, more than likely, will have to be open to making changes in how you think, feel, and behave. But once again, as you practice Kriya Yoga and as you get deeper into understanding spiritual philosophy, you recognize that you are not your mind, your emotions. You're not these things that you define yourself through. You are an immortal spiritual being. And so Mr. Davis would encourage you to live like one. And to live like one requires a consideration of everything that we've discussed in this class. Now, in the previous classes, I did not spend a whole lot of time looking at the answers to questions that come at the end of each chapter. However, in this last class, this last chapter, there are some things that we could talk about that Mr. Davis brings up to help bring this point home. So one of the questions that Mr. Davis answered was, I have thoughts and feelings of resistance to having what I need and want, of not being able to have them, and feelings of unworthiness. It is not easy for me to let go of these thoughts and feelings. What can I do about this? And he says to replace troublesome thoughts and feelings with thoughts and feelings of self-worth and openness to the good fortune that is always available to you and you deserve to have. This is something I found to be very useful, meaning if I would go through this process and I felt a sense of unworthiness or I had issues with self-worth, what I would do is I would sit down and I would imagine, well, how would I feel if I really thought that it was possible, if I really felt that I deserved this, that as a immortal spiritual being, that it's perfectly okay for me to feel fulfilled in this way. And I would reflect upon that, and then I would spend time imagining that. So instead of focusing on the anxieties of the why that there is a problem, I would focus instead on imagining, well, what if I did have this good fortune? What if it was okay? What if I was worthy? What if life was supportive of this experience? And I would feel it deep down into my heart and into my spine and into my brain, and I would focus on this. So you can replace the troublesome feelings and thoughts by contemplating essentially the opposite of them. And he goes on to say to be self-reliant, self-confident, and purposeful. Now, once again, that's a wonderful thing to do. And often it's easier said than done. So what I would say is, if you have difficulty being self-reliant, self-confident, and purposeful, we'll figure out the root cause of that and resolve it. Because you can spend many hours, many days, many months, even years, trying to reimagine that you feel good, you feel worthy, you feel that grace is possible to you. And that will be helpful to a degree, it'll be helpful to your mind and so on. But if that never allows you to get to the root issue, then you're just constantly putting a Band-Aid over the situation. So another step would be, again, to work with a counselor, a psychologist, someone who can help you look past your blind spots and dig into the root cause and remove the issue by the root. And sometimes what you find is when you find the root cause of difficulties with self-reliance and self-confidence and purpose, when you're able to recognize that and resolve it, you don't have to really try to do it anymore. You naturally feel self-reliant, self-confident, and purposeful. And in this way, using probably a combination of these two approaches, that will help to, as Mr. Davis says, bring forth and fully actualize the potential that is within you to experience excellence in all aspects of your life. Now, the next question is that, isn't it a form of escapism or denial of facts that exist for me to remove my attention from troubles and direct it to source? And Mr. Davis states that being in tune with the source while accomplishing your purposes is the ideal way to live. If you have done the best of which you are capable without having positive results or are confronting situations you cannot resolve, complete reliance on the source will allow it to do for you what you could not do. You will not have the mental and emotional unrest, anxiety, or feelings of despair which interfere with your ability to function effectively and be in the flow of supportive events. Now again, assuming you're not just simply in psychological denial or you're struggling with psychological issues, this is very important because sometimes there are things that happen in life which no amount of willpower is going to change. And there are numerous situations that we could list, but I'm sure you know of some of them. What do you do when you confront those situations? Well, there is a reason that we have the capacity for endurance. Now, the root chakra is the power of endurance. It's our spiritual power of endurance. And sometimes there are things, like for example, let's say, like today, it's raining outside. I can't change the weather pattern. But what I can do is I can quit being frustrated about it and I can relax. I can give up the situation to source. And what's going to happen is in a few days, the rain's going to pass and the sun's going to come out. In our reality that we live in as a human being, there's constant change. So when there is something that we cannot change through our will or through our skillful means or through our intentions or our thoughts or our prayers, sometimes the best thing we can do is simply tune into source and trust in source to handle the situation. And this will help to relieve the emotional unrest and anxiety and feelings of despair. And then when the situation is supportive again, you can tap into that. And I think that's something that we need to consider as yogis, because often our meditations don't always go the way we want, or we don't always feel serene and whole and wonderful when we meditate. And life isn't always in perfect harmony. And so what I've noticed is that in those times, then you rely on source. You go within with patience and you abide as the self. And then when things change outwardly, you use that. You use that opportunity. Just like when a farmer needs to make hay, the farmer waits until the sun shines, until it's all dry. Then they go and make hay. They don't try to do it in the rain and they don't get upset when it's raining. They wait. And sometimes we have to be like that too, because even though we are immortal spiritual beings, we do live in prakriti, which is nature, the ever-changing experience of consciousness. And that's always going to rise and it's going to fall. And we can, through our mastery of our states of consciousness and taking care of our life to the best of our ability, usually have the opportunity to learn and grow and feel purposeful and so on. But those moments that come along where it just doesn't quite work, you just relax, because it'll come around again. The time will come around again. And this tends to relieve a lot of anxiety and distress within people. So you don't have to deny reality. You just simply have to ride the waves of reality. And the more skillful you are, the more knowledgeable you are, the easier it will be for you to recognize when it is appropriate to take action or when it is appropriate just to hang back and wait and rest. Now, to finish out the class, I'll read the final page of chapter 7, where Mr. Davis talks about meditation. He writes, "Meditate in thought-free silence until you are conscious of your oneness with the wholeness of life. After meditation, be receptive to the guidance that will emerge from within you and to the opportunities that are available for your total well-being. When you see or hear about others who are thriving, be happy for them. Learn to expect, see, and easily accept the blessings that you can have. Past experiences are history, events which cannot be changed. Your future experiences in this world and beyond will be determined by your states of consciousness and actions. Knowing that you are an immortal, spiritual being, live freely now." So I'd like to take some time to thank you for participating in this class on Roy Eugene Davis's book, Absolute Knowledge That Liberates Consciousness, An Explanation of Higher Realities. I'd like to encourage you, if you can, to find a copy of this book and study it often, or go back and re-listen to these classes, because you'll often find that you might have missed something, that you hear things differently, that you understand something from a different level as your consciousness becomes clearer. And this is a wonderful book to study. You can also take our classes, our online classes that we have available, which is an introduction to Kriya Yoga Meditation for Spiritual Growth. That's a 12-week class. And then a much longer, year-long course called the Kriya Yoga Discipleship course. And students who've gone through those classes are welcome to apply for the 2-year Kriya Yoga Apprenticeship course. Otherwise, feel free to visit kriyayogaonline.com, and you can find events, online events, in-person retreats, in-person immersions and initiations, and also a complete series of books which will give you all you need to effectively engage your Kriya Yoga practice. Be well. It was wonderful to spend this time together and study. I look forward to seeing you soon. Om Shanti, 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 Hari Om. Peace.